Good morning, everybody. Glad to have you all here. I know I am glad to be back. Thank you all. When I was out last week, thank you all for your prayers. There's still a lot of people out, so let's keep them in our prayers as well. And hopefully, we'll be out of all this sickness here really soon. So we all please stand as we open up with worship this morning. Bring a sacrifice of praise. You know, it is great to come into the house of the Lord and offer our praises to him this morning. Amen. We all bow your heads. We open up the prayer. Lord God, I thank you and I praise you that we are here this morning, God, to lift up our hearts, to lift up our voices, God, and to praise your holy name, Lord. I ask you to be with us this morning through the power and anointing of your Holy Spirit, that everything we say and do brings glory and honor to you. God, we want to point the world to you because you are the answer to this messed up world, God. And Lord, I pray that you will speak powerfully through Pastor Larry this morning, through the message that you have given him, God. Stir us and change us in what you want us to be. And I thank you for the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Y'all may be seated.
Good morning. Last week, you gave $385 to the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. So far, we have collected $737 towards our goal of $4,000. Thank you. The mission field in North America is diverse and complex. The combined population of Canada, the United States, and their respective territories is about 386 million people. That includes 378 languages and 161 unreached people groups. About 291 million are estimated to be lost. Please pray for our missionaries as they seek the lost and tell them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now we will watch a video about missionaries who tell college students at Purdue University in West Lafayette, Indiana, about Jesus. Please pray for all college students everywhere to come to know Jesus. Thank you.
I think there's a perception that college students are closed off to the gospel, but when I talk to students, they're just looking for meaning and something to live for, and it's like, we have it. I'm Jordan Adams, I'm a church planner who planted a church in West Lafayette, Indiana, trying to reach Purdue University. There is rapid growth that is happening as far as just college students coming to hear the gospel. And it's because the way they live life, they're going to classes together, they live together, and so the gospel spreads like crazy through these friend groups.
I'm Erin, And I'm Ellie, and we're sophomores at Purdue University. We met the first day of college. She was my roommate. She was my random roommate. And church has been a big deal for me my whole life.
But I wasn't really into church at all.
So the way that she got invited to church, it was really beautiful, honestly.
You were like, it'll be fun. And then I remember the first worship. Jordan was speaking. And I learned that Jesus was like an actual person, that he knew exactly who I was. And like, I learned that he loved me for who I was, even though everything was broken about me.
It's just really great to watch entire friend groups be changed by Jesus. And now we have more and more college students that are graduating and just going, where's the next church plant? That's where I'm moving. This is the mission of my life. So yeah, it has been more than I imagined. And I imagined quite a bit, but I didn't see this. A movement of the gospel in our country that will change our country through college students.
Well, that is your Annie Armstrong mission offering at work there. And, you know, we don't always get to see it firsthand results, but you know what? We are so much better together than we are separated. We can do much more collectively than individually. So continue to pray for that mission offering and give as the Lord leads you. Very briefly, next Sunday is our fellowship dinner, our Resurrection Day fellowship dinner. So please plan to attend and stay. Invite a friend to come with you. A great day to do that. Also, don't forget about the mission trip Bundt Cake fundraiser. The sign-up information is above the water cooler, and you have till March 22nd. And then the pickup is April 12th. That helps fund our mission projects here at Open Door. So read your bulletin and get the rest of it, okay? But thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Pastor Larry. You all please stand. We continue the worship this morning.
The greatness.
I messed that all up.
Amazing love. joy to honor you. Life forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you work again. Alive, alive and well, your spirit is within me because you died and you rose again. Amazing love.
Praise you for your love. It is truly, truly amazing. In come now to the giving of our tithes and our offerings. Lord, I pray that you bless both the gift and the giver, Lord. And Lord, that we will bless you richly as you have blessed us. And Lord, as always, as I come to the preaching of your word, Lord, that you would forgive me of my sins. Lord, that you'd have mercy on me, and that you would fill my lips with your power, your authority, through your Holy Spirit, not of myself, but completely of you. Lord, I pray that you glorify yourself today through me, through your word, to your people. In Jesus' name I pray.
Get you to hit that note next time.
Having a little fun with Kevin there, just for a second. Good morning. It's good to see you today. Listen, it's been a long week. It really has, but it's been a good week. I can tell you that much. But just pray for me as I start into this. I should have spent more time in this message than I have. But you pray that God will take over and in my place. Amen. Amen. We're in sermon number 7 in Knowing Jesus. I am the Good Shepherd. This is part 2 from last week. And if you are new here today or if you've been absent, we are currently in a series entitled Knowing Jesus. And in that, we have been learning what Jesus, who we have called the primary source, that what Jesus has to say about himself. Who does he say that he is? Because a lot of people have a lot to say and a lot of different opinions about Jesus and who he is. But we have been looking at who Jesus himself said that he is. And in the book of John, chapter 10, where you want to get to, the book of John, chapter 10, Jesus called himself the Good Shepherd. And as I told you last week, this followed a direct confrontation with the religious leaders who were abusing their authority. So Jesus turned to the crowd, and especially to the Pharisees, who was part of the religious leadership of that day, and basically said, "You are the bad shepherds. I am the good shepherd, you are the bad shepherd." So he was drawing a sharp contrast between the false shepherds, the religious leaders of that day who abused their authority, who mistreated God's people, expelled the wounded sheep per se, and cared more about rules than people. We call that legalism. They cared more about rules than people. He was comparing himself to those shepherds, right? That's who he's comparing himself to, right? To himself, who is the he's comparing them to himself, the true shepherd, who seeks out the hurting. If you remember, they expelled the blind man, and he went out seeking after him, right? So he's the true shepherd, the good shepherd, who seeks out the hurting, who knows his sheep, who protects his sheep, and who, as you know, you ultimately lay down his life for his sheep. So that's the scene here when Jesus said this statement, "I am the good shepherd." Now, last week, over and over, we saw throughout the Old Testament that God is referred to as the shepherd of the people, the shepherd of Israel. over and over in the Old Testament, you get this picture of God as a shepherd. That's how they picture God, as a shepherd. And Jesus comes with this self-declaration, self-identification, and he calls himself the Good Shepherd. And last week, we touched just the surface of what this meant. And essentially, what we learned is that Jesus, the Christ, cares for us unlike anyone else. We, you and I, are his sheep, and he cares for us. And he is the Good Shepherd, and when trouble comes, he doesn't bail out on us. When times get tough, he doesn't exit right the stage, right? He's there for us in troubled times. When danger comes, when sorrow comes, when grief comes, the rest of the world may bail out on you, but Jesus said, look, wait a minute, I want you to understand something. That's not me. That's not the kind of shepherd I am. He says, I care for you, and you can trust that. You can trust that I care for you, that I will stand in the gap for you, and I will stand in the gap with you. I will carry you when you can't carry yourself. And if that's not enough, he says, I'll die for you. And he, in fact, did that. Amen? So that was last week. Jesus cares for you. Make no mistake about that. We know that because he proved it on the cross, right? So today I want to take all of this just a step further. I told you last week that Jesus explained to us in a way that we can comprehend that which is really incomprehensible, and that we cannot really or clearly understand this love, understand this care that Jesus has for us. So Jesus breaks it down in a way that we can understand it. So today, I want to show you that Jesus comes, and what he does is he states the inexplicable fellowship. And he says it like this, and actually this is really kind of fascinating to me, as he begins again down in verse 14, chapter 10, verse 14, where Jesus comes and he says this, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. Verse 15, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading. Now, there's a whole lot in these few verses right here, right, that I want to take you through, that I want you to understand, and I want you to see. Now, I want you to notice several things today. Number one, I want you to look at this. Number one, the beginning of the fellowship. Beginning of the fellowship. Now, let me ask, where does fellowship begin? Well, I want you to notice, he comes and he says, right here, watch. He says, I know my own. The word there is ginosko in the Greek. I don't know, I butchered that probably. Ginosko in the Greek. He says, I tell you that because there are a lot of there's at least 8 different major words in the Greek for the word know. There are a lot of different ways you can go with the word know. But this one right here in this text is very specific. Ginosko, it means I know. But more precisely, it means this. It means I know intimately. I know intimately. The way, just the same way a husband and a wife know each other, right? That's what it kind of refers to. So now here, Jesus comes and he says, I know intimately my own. And then he says, and my own intimately know me. Now, in ancient Middle Eastern shepherding, the relationship between the shepherd and his sheep is surprisingly intimate, meaning this, the shepherd didn't just check on his flock occasionally. He just didn't go out once a week or so and just say, oh, yeah, they're there, I got them, okay, and he went on his way. Now, he didn't check on his flock occasionally. He actually lived with them day after day. He stayed with them day after day. He led them to pasture. He led them to water. He led them to rest. He cared for them. He protected them. And because of this constant presence with the sheep, he learned each sheep's appearance. He learned each sheep's temperament. He learned their habits, their weakness, or their injuries, right? And over time, he could recognize them instantly, even in a large flock. He could look and he could say, oh, I know that's mine, that one's mine, I know mine. And shepherds frequently gave sheep distinctive, descriptive names based on traits. For example, there's Whitefoot, or oh, there's old Crooked Ear right there, right? All right? That's why in verse 3, Jesus said, the shepherd calls his own sheep by name. But it wasn't just ownership. It was personal attention. Look what it says. Jesus, I know intimately, I know my own. I know you and all your quirks. I know you and all your oddities. I know you and all your distinct features. I know you and all your weirdness. And yet it's an expression of my love to you to know you like that. It's really generally what he's saying. I know who you are and I still love you. I still care for you. I still want to protect you, right? I still want to lead you. I still want to guide you. I know you and all your weirdness. And it's an expression of my love to know you like that. For example, just like it's my expression to love, to express my love to my wife, is for me to know her. I've been married now for 43 and a half years. Almost forgot that, almost got in trouble. For 43 and a half years, and I am just scratching the surface. I don't know half nor understand what I already do know about her, all right? Guys, come on. You're afraid to say amen, aren't you? Come on, chickens. But it's an expression of my love. Right, what? But it's an expression of my love that I want to take the time to know her. In fact, I want to know everything about her. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, I know you, but I know you perfectly. I know you completely. I know you perfectly. That's not a thing about, when he's saying, there's not a thing about you that I do not know. So he comes, and that's just the beginning of the fellowship. That's the beginning of the fellowship. He knows you intimately. But the question is, do we really know Jesus on an intimate basis? And that's what the whole series is about. That's what this whole series is about. Do you really know Jesus? Do you really know who he is? So the beginning of our fellowship with Jesus Christ is based on our knowledge, or better said, it would be, I think, based on our understanding of him, that he knows us, but more importantly, that we know him. Amen? That's the beginning of fellowship, of knowing each other, right? Now, the second thing here is the basis of the fellowship. What is the basis of the fellowship? Now, watch what he says as he moves on, still in verse 14 right there. He says this. He says, I know my sheep and am known by my own. Verse 15, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. Look, Jesus is saying here this. He's saying, I want you to know me. I want you to know me in the same way that the Father knows me and in the same way that I know the Father. That's how I want this relationship to be. It's based on a perfect understanding. It's based in perfect unity. It's based in perfect love. Jesus is saying that the way he knows his sheep is patterned after that deep relationship that he has with the Father. And he's looking at that same relationship to be with you. And when he says he knows his sheep, he doesn't mean I am merely recognizing them. That's not what he's saying there. He's not saying, I know my sheep. He's not saying, oh, I just merely recognize them. Like you're just an acquaintance of somebody that you see somewhere along the way. You know who they are, but you really don't know them. You know, hey, how you doing? Hey, you go. That's not the kind of relationship. He's not talking about that. He's not talking about like an acquaintance relationship. He means this. He means a deep personal relationship. He's meaning a loving concern relationship and a covenant commitment. Get that? A covenant commitment relationship. And you think, I can't possibly know Jesus the way that God knows the Father and the way that God knows the Son, right? but he's comparing this, and Jesus is saying this. He says, this is the basis of our fellowship. This is the basis of fellowship. It's based on this very thing. I desire, I hunger, I long to know more about Jesus. Now, just let me clue you in on something about this. I desire, I hunger, I long to know more about Jesus. One Sunday a month doesn't cure this. Oh, I got darts coming. I see them. Just a casual picking up and reading of the Word of God for 3 minutes every once in a while doesn't build that relationship. So Jesus comes and he says something that's very, very, and it's really hard for us to understand. And yet at the same time, he says it in a way that we can begin to grasp it, and that is we can have that kind of relationship. That you can know Jesus a lot better than you do. Now listen, before you shoot me and throw me out of the church, listen to me. That you can know Jesus a lot better than you do, I want you to understand something. I say that to myself almost every day. I myself need to know Jesus better than I do. So I'm not pointing at you, I'm pointing with you, all right? I need to know Jesus way better than I do. Now listen, I can know Jesus a lot better than I know him right now, is what I'm saying, right? I can know Jesus a lot better than I know him right now. And to be honest with you, that is the hunger of my heart. That I want to know him more. I want to know him deeper, right? But here's the thing about that. I don't get to know him deeper by wandering off. I don't get to know him deeper by doing my own thing and just calling on him when I'm in trouble or when I need something. I don't get to know him deeper by listening to other voices that are not from him. I've had a lot of great spiritual people who has spoken into my life. That's not what he's talking about. I'm talking about people who are not of him. Now, you need to hear this next statement very loud and clear. Sheep learn their shepherd's voice. You know how they learn their shepherd's voice? Sheep learn their shepherd's voice through daily closeness. Remember, it's not a once in a while thing. They're with them day in and day out, day in and day out. Sheep learn their shepherd's voice through daily closeness. They learn to trust their shepherd because of the care the shepherd provides them. They learn his voice and they are willing to follow him because he has proven trustworthy. Listen to me, friends. The basis of knowing Jesus deeper is spending time with him. Here, let me put it in a way that I understand. Do you know how I can lose weight? Don't put food in my mouth. If I don't eat, I won't gain weight, right? Listen, you want closeness with the Lord? You need to feed on him in his word. You're getting an analogy there, right? Listen, the basis of knowing deeper is Jesus is spending time with him. And that's how you'll grow and trust him more and more and more. And that is where the intimacy is going to come. That's where that intimacy, that closeness is going to come. Intimacy. Look into Jesus. Look into him. Know him. Seek him. Find him, right? And that's how you will know, and that's how you will recognize his voice, and his voice will be so strong in your life that it will crowd out all the others that are calling out to you. And that's how you can know Jesus in the same way, with the same type of relationship that Jesus has with the Father, right? He's revealed to us in his word throughout the scripture, throughout his holy Bible, right? His holy word, right? That's how we know, right? Perfect
understanding, perfect unity, perfect love, perfect unity in Christ, spending time with Him, and that's the true basis of our fellowship with Him. Amen. Now, point number three, the blessing of fellowship. The blessing of fellowship. Now He comes and He says, this is the blessing of the fellowship. Watch this in verse 16. And other sheep. Now, I've got to stop right there and say this because I don't do this very often, but I'm going to call it out. And the other sheep. I got to stop here because the Mormons use this verse to say this is Jesus talking about them, the Mormons. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. Look, verse 16. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read that, I don't read Mormon in those verses anywhere in there, right? But that's what they say. Listen, it's a huge abuse of hermeneutics. It's a huge abuse of interpretation. And just a plain out twisting of the scripture. It's an eisegesis, right? It's an eisegesis. That means reading one's own bias into the text. I want it to mean what I want it to mean, so that's what I'm going to read it to mean. So then, if He's not talking about the Mormons, who is Jesus talking about if it's not the Mormons, right? Who's He talking about then? Who is the other sheep? Us, right? The Gentiles, right? Those who are not Jewish. He's talking about the Gentiles. That is you and I here today, because in Jesus, those who believe in Jesus Christ who are not Jewish. And that's all you read throughout the Old Testament, that He's going to come and be a light to us, right? He's going to be a light to the world, right? We're the other ones. We are the other ones, the other sheep that He's talking about in this text, right? Now watch this, because this is extremely interesting to me. Verse 16, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock. Now, I don't know if you noticed any difference between a fold and a flock. Did you notice any difference in that? There's a difference between a fold and a flock. And you're going to think, well, this interests you? Yeah, it does. Why? Because there are many folds. Just like there are many Baptist churches, there are many Presbyterian churches, just like there's many Methodist churches, just like there's many other denominational churches, but there's only one flock. There's only one church. Very interesting, right? That's what He's saying here. We've got a lot of different folks, but there's only one flock. So He's talking here about bringing us all together, and that's plural, then you come to one flock, singular, with one singular shepherd. So He's saying this, He's saying there are all these people that come into the fold, but He's saying, I'm bringing all of these folds together, and there's going to be one flock out of all of them. Only one. Now, you know, we as a church, we need to understand what He's saying about that. And what He's saying about that is that He has brought us together here at Open Door to be one flock with one shepherd. Amen? And one day when we're all in heaven, we'll be that one fold. We'll all be that one fold. From no matter where you come from, we're all going to be that one fold, right? If you're in heaven, we're going to be that one fold. We're to be one just like He and the Father are one. That's what He wants. That's the blessing of our fellowship. That's the blessing inside of it. And you say, well now, how do we do that? How do we get there, Pastor? How does this get accomplished, Pastor? How do we do that? Well, we get there by point number four. We get there by cultivating the fellowship. This whole text is about fellowship. With not just Jesus, but with one another. is about cultivating the fellowship. He's speaking about a depth of fellowship that we know little about. Because how does that happen? How does that happen? How does that take place? It happens in three ways. Now listen to me carefully. It happens with time. Number one, it happens with time. We've already discussed that. Number two, it happens with nourishment. And number three, it happens with service. Now, those three things right there, time, nourishment, and service, you need to keep that in your mind, right? You need to keep that in your mind. Time, nourishment, and service brings about a deeper fellowship. You ought to write those things down, right? What brings a deeper fellowship? Time, nourishment, and service, right? But you may be wondering, how did this oneness in our fellowship come about? How does this oneness in that fellowship come about? He makes us one. We are one in Christ, right? He makes us one. He desires us, and so therefore he desires us to be one, just like he and the Father are one. Now let me spend time talking about the time element, all right? There should be a, listen, this isn't going to be easy, and I'm sorry. But there should be a longevity in your Christian walk in one church. There should be a longevity in your Christian walk in one church, because people change churches like teenagers change t-shirts most of the time. It's really, really, honestly, I don't know how to put it, it's kind of ridiculous. And I'm not pointing anything out. I'm just stating a fact of how do we get this deep fellowship. And when you keep changing churches, it hurts you. It hurts you more than it hurts the church. Have we ever had people leave this church? Are we still here? But by the grace of God. It hurts you more than it hurts the church. Yes, it did. Let me be clear. Does it impact the church? Absolutely it does when somebody leaves the church. Absolutely it hurts the church. I can think of people that have left this church that have greatly impacted my life. It hurts you. Yes, it also hurts the church and what they can bring to the church. But ultimately, it hurts them. We just move from this church to this church to this church to that thing to another thing over here, over there, over there. Oh, look, they got something over here that this one ain't got. Oh, look, I heard about this church. I'm going to go try that church. Oh, hey, look, you see what they're doing over there? They don't have Wednesday night services. They don't have Sunday night. They got this. They got the gym over here, and they got this over here. And they just jump. We just move from this church to this church to this thing to that thing. And what happens because of that? There's no longevity. There's no time. There's no longevity. And listen, when you do that, you will never put down roots. You'll never put down roots. Therefore, you never cultivate real, true fellowship. Listen, I've been at this church since the early 80s. First as a congregation member, like many of you. I was a young punk at the point in that point in my life. Now I'm just a punk, right? But I was a young punk at that point in my life. And then as God changed me in time, I became the youth pastor here, and then after some time of prayer and education and a calling, I became your pastor. And listen, through all these years, there's been some really hard stuff that's happened, some very heartfelt, hurtful stuff. I've been accused of being a heretic. I've been accused of having favorites. I don't even want to get started on that. I got one word about that. We're not in high school. I've been accused of having favorites. I've been accused of forming cliques. I've been called a liar. I've been accused of some very serious things that were out of my control and some things that were in my control. In addition to those, there have been some heart-wrenching things that's happened to me and my family. But listen, don't stop there, because I got to tell you something very truthful. It all hasn't been all that bad either. I don't want you to think that. I don't want you to think that. There have been many awesome times. There have been many awesome victories in my life of this church, personally and spiritually. God has blessed me. God has blessed my family beyond measure. I can tell you that. I've gained way more than I've ever lost. But things happened before I was your pastor, and things that happened after I became your pastor. Just hard seasons of life. And listen, we all have them, right? Amen? We all have them. I'm not special. We all are, got this, right? We all can say what I just said, amen? Just be truthful. We all can say what I just said. And there are a lot of personalities in the fold. Did you understand that? There's a lot of if you haven't noticed, there's a lot of personalities in this building right now. There have been times throughout the years, in fact, I specifically remember a time when the pastor of this church hurt me deeply to my core. He hurt me bad in this church. And I thought, why don't I just go to another church? Why don't I just go? Why do I even stay here? Why don't I just go? But way back, way, way back before I became the pastor here, I had to look at some of the beacons of the faith, the beacons of the church past in this church. People that joined this church and stayed regardless of the hardship, who stayed no matter what was going on around them until their dying day. They stayed there until their dying day. There were members who came the day the church that this church was meeting in a tent over on St. John's Road. There's only a couple of us here that remember that. I'm not looking at Mike either. The church was meeting in a tent over on St. John's Road and remained until God called them home. They stayed here that whole time. And the advice of one of those people many, many years ago to me was this. And you need to hear this loud and clear. I don't care who you are. You do not join a church to follow the pastor. If you're coming here because of me, stop. You're following the wrong person. I will let you down. Just as you will let me down. I don't follow you. Don't follow me. Follow me as I follow. There we go, right? You join a church to follow Jesus Christ. And that, when she, I gave it away. When she told me, it resonated with me. It stuck with me. The whole thing is this. I'm not about a personality. Now, I want a good preacher, and I want to be a good preacher, and I want to be a good pastor to you all. I like good music and good worship just like you do. But let me tell you something. Nobody is going to run me off from this church that I'm a part of and that I love. And I don't think God's going to come and just have me church hop when my feelings get hurt and go from place to place to place. Why? Because I think he wants me to put down roots. He put me in this fellowship for a reason, right? He wants me to put down roots and he wants me to stay, right? Because that's how you build a deep fellowship in a place. By the way, me and the pastor that hurt me, we resolved our differences biblically, in a biblical way. We sat down in a biblical manner, and it took us some time, and we worked through our differences. And now you know who this gentleman is. I call him my pastor to this day. More importantly, I call him my friend. And we're close. We are close friends. We are in fellowship together, not just in the ministry, but with each other. We're in fellowship together. I call him for advice all the time. And he calls me for advice as well. Why? Because we understood that we needed to cultivate fellowship with one another and in Christ, right? Well, next there comes this. Next there comes the nourishment. Now, let me tell you something about sheep that maybe you didn't know. Did you know that sheep are highly intelligent? I mean, they're also dumb, but they're also highly intelligent. So I identify with this, kind of. But sheep are highly intelligent and can recognize and remember at least 50 individual faces, both other sheep and humans. They can remember those 50 faces for over 2 years. How do they figure that out? I don't know. I don't know, but that's what this statistic says. And did you know that sheep experience a wide range of emotions, including joy, fear, anger, boredom? They can even distinguish between human facial expressions, and sheep generally prefer a smile over a frown. And the Word of God compares us to sheep. And when you learn a little bit about them, you can understand why. And here's another fact. Sheep have a powerful instinct to stay together for protection. Did you notice that? Sheep have a powerful instinct to stay together for protection. That's because they find isolation extremely stressful and will often follow a leader or someone that they trust. Also, that's why when you see them out in the fields, when they're out in the fields feeding, they are all gathered up. They're all bunched up together, right? You watch that, right? And some will, a couple of them will stray off, a couple of them will stay, they'll stay out, and generally that's when a sheep will get themselves into trouble. That's when they get themselves in danger, when they're off by themselves. But generally they are bunched up together, and that's how they're feeding. For instance, this is what you're, let me tell you something, this is what you're doing right now. It's what we're doing right now. It's what you're doing right now. You're bunched up here feeding together right now, all in a bunched up group, right? And earlier this morning, some of you attended Sunday school, and in that smaller bunch, what were you doing in that smaller bunch? You were feeding, right? But even in the midst of that smaller group feeding, there's a fellowship inside of there, right? And over a period of time, that does something in your lives. You grow deeper together, right? You're connected more to the small groups that you're in, right? You get connected deeper into that, right? And out of that, you know what comes out of that? Service. Service. You'll want to serve. You'll want to serve. You'll want to be a part of all the things that are going on. Listen, let me tell you where you see this. One of the main places that you see this is the mission team. It's just one I'm pointing out. There's others. But one of the areas that you see this is in the mission team. Listen, inside the mission team, our fellowship is strong. The mission team, we're close. And we're close, but, and it's not just on a mission trip. Yes, that's the start, but then a lot of these same people are together at serving at the community breakfast and other service things that we do here. We like to do things together, like we like to go to dinner together. We like to go to events together. We like to go to sight and sound, etc., right? We have a deep fellowship, but it begins with spending time together, feeding together here first. That thing, that service, that mission service, didn't start out there. It started in here with us feeding, fellowshipping together. See it? But listen to me. Let me tell you. It's unfathomable what God does when we are together. It's absolutely, truly amazing. We go on these mission trips, and what we accomplish in a week is literally, absolutely bewildering. It doesn't seem possible. It's like we accomplish the impossible most of the time, right? And I watch unions being formed. I watch people draw closer together, not only to God, but to one another. And listen, are there little tiffs here and there? Absolutely not. Never do we have tiffs inside that mission team. Of course we do. We get little snips and snaps and bits and bites, and you betcha that happens. Listen to me. Anytime you have a lot of people and a lot of personalities, you're going to have a lot of headbutting and a lot of locking of horns. Watch. Wait. You're going to have a lot of headbutting and a lot of locking of horns, just like you do with sheep. Because you will often see sheep out in the fields rallying for dominance. It's usually what happens. It's rallying for dominance, headbutting, ramming their horns. That happens. But listen, when danger comes, they huddle up, they clump together, and by huddling, they make it incredibly difficult for a predator to pick out an individual target. And I see this with our mission team. I might get annoyed at you. You might get annoyed at me. But I don't let anyone on the outside say a word about you. Don't you let an outsider say something about anyone in the group. Don't let anyone on the outside come after one of our own. Because listen, when that happens, we're going to huddle up. And with the full wrath of the whole group is going to come on you. And when one in the group is in trouble or can't find their way, the rest of the group huddles around them to protect them, to keep them safe. And even though we have personalities and tiffs inside the group, we protect one another. And as a result, you know what happens because of that? We draw closer to one another. But listen, this is the most important thing. The most important thing. Yes, we draw closer to one another, but we also draw closer to God. And to me, it just speaks of what God wants to do for us in the church. Listen, the church isn't perfect because I'm in it. And so are you. The church is perfect because Christ leads it. Amen? He leads it, not me. And he longs to touch our lives if we will be faithful, not just to him, but to one another. So we need to cultivate our fellowship with one another. And let me ask you this. How did our fellowship in God begin? Watch. How did our relationship with God begin? What happened? There was a sacrifice and a forgiveness. If you can't forgive, then there's a problem. Sacrifice and forgiveness, that's how the fellowship began. Now watch, stay with me because I got one more point. I know, right? Which leads me to this. I want to go to the power of fellowship. See now, Jesus speaks of this baffling power, and it's hard for us to wrap our heads around this. Let me begin back in verse 16. Look what it says. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me. Now let me stop at that. Therefore my Father loves me. Look back, if you will, to verse 15 where he says this. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 15, look what he says. You've got the Father who knows him, and he knows him to be what? The father knows Jesus, to his son, to be what? An obedient son, right? And in verse 17, the father loves him. Why? Well, look at what he says there. He says, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. He says, the father loves me because I'm willing to lay down my life. So now he's going to say this about four different times. Verse 11, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Verse 15, I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 17, I lay down my life that I may take it again. Verse 18, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. Now listen to what shifts here. There's a shift here. I lay it down for the sheep. I lay it down for the sheep. I lay it down and understand this power. I take it back up. I can take it back up. I lay it down, but I can take it back up. I lay it down of my own initiative, of my own will, of myself. I lay it down. Nobody, not the Romans, not the Jews, not anybody, not the pastor. No one on this earth takes my life. I'm laying my life down by my own initiative. I do it. Jesus says, I do it. I've chosen to do this. And he says, not only will I lay my life down, he turns around and he says, I'll pick it back up. I have the authority to do that. I have the power to do that. He says, the Father's given me that authority. I have this authority from the Father. I lay it down on my own. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. The Father said, listen, you go, you lay your life down, and in 3 days you pick it up and come out of that grave. Amen? You go, you lay it down, and 3 days later, you're going to come up out of that grave. You know, I've got as a Jiminy Crickets, that's incomprehensible power. I don't understand that power. That's just a power that's beyond me. It's unfathomable power. Now, let's put this into perspective. Watch this. Do you know I have power? Watch. I have the power to lay my life down. I can just go and take my life, but I can tell you what I don't have. That's right, sister. I don't have the power to raise my own life back up. I don't have that kind of power. But Jesus comes along and he says, listen, sheep, I do. I have that. I do. That's the power of his fellowship with me. That's who I am. Do you get what he's telling us? Do you get what he's telling us who believe and trust in him? Look what he's saying. He's saying this, I have the power to raise not only myself from death to life, but I have the power to raise your life from death to life. Amen? Because I have fellowship with you. I know you and you know me. I'm in fellowship with you. When you trusted and believed in me for forgiveness of your sins. Now my power is in you. You say, what do you mean his power is in me? It's not just merely his power. He's in me. The Holy Spirit. He's inside of me. He's in fellowship with me. He walks with me. He talks with me along life's difficult ways, right? He's inside of me. He's in fellowship with me. Do you get it? He's a powerful, powerful God who wants to be in fellowship with you. Can you understand it? Can you fathom it? Musicians, I want to ask the musicians to come and just play something just out of the missions. But congregation, I want you to imagine with me. Just put your imagining cap on. I want you to imagine with me. I actually want you to visualize this in your heads. You may want to close your eyes if you have to, but I want you to get this in your head as I speak to you. Ready? I want you to imagine a wide, open valley. Real big, wide, open valley. where multiple flocks of sheep are intermingled. Multiple flocks of sheep are intermingled, grazing peacefully. You see them out there in that big open valley, in that big field, all these flocks of sheep. They're just in there all together, just grazing peacefully. They belong to several different shepherds who have gathered them near a river for watering, for feeding. And the sun begins to set. And it's time to leave. And suddenly, one of the shepherds, your shepherd, steps forward and emits a very distinct, unique call. It's not a loud shout, but a low, personal voice, maybe with a specific set of words. But you can hear the shepherd's call. Out of all the other sheep around you, you hear your shepherd's call. Kind of like Jesus is speaking to you right now. That's the beginning of fellowship. The sheep are intelligent and they recognize that voice. And out of all the chaos that's going on around them, the sheep that belong to that shepherd begin to lift their heads up. Not all of those sheep out there, but just the ones that hear their shepherd's call lift their heads. Why? Because they know their shepherd. And the shepherd knows each of them individually by name. He knows their quirks and their weirdness. And he knows their behaviors. He knows all the stuff they've gone through, all the places they've been, and he knows them intimately. And so when they hear his voice, they respond to his voice alone. They obey what the shepherd's voice is telling them. Friends, this morning, do you hear his voice calling you? You hear his voice saying, "You, I've been talking to you, I've been calling you, come follow me. Come follow me. I'm the good shepherd." Now, unfortunately, his sheep hear his voice and respond. Do you hear him? Not unfortunately, I mean, understand this. Only his sheep hear his voice and respond. His sheep hear his voice and respond. Question, do you hear him? That's the basis of your fellowship with him, by listening and responding. And listen, as the sheep begin to move toward the sound of the shepherd, you see these sheep start, not all of them, but that's his sheep, they start separating themselves out. They begin to move toward the sound of the shepherd. Now watch, listen very carefully. He doesn't walk behind them with a whip. He walks out in front, not as a boss. He's a leader and a guide. And he calls his sheep to follow him. He doesn't push them. He doesn't force them. He just simply calls his sheep to follow him. He invites them into a relationship of perfect trust. A relationship that mirrors the perfect knowledge and trust between the Father and the Son. You hear his voice? Are you following him? If not, he invites you to come. If you hear him, he's inviting you to come. Because listen, there is this blessing of fellowship when you become a part of the flock. Now, wait a minute. You still have that image in your heads? Then think about this. as the other shepherds call their flocks and the groups begin to separate, your flock moves together. Your flock moves together with a common purpose, with a common destiny, moving together with one shepherd, the shepherd. And listen, my friends, there's protection in unity because we are safest from the enemy when we are huddled together. Let me ask you this, do you feel safe right now? If you don't, then I invite you to come to safety in the shepherd. And now, Christians, are you cultivating the fellowship? Are you spending time putting down roots, staying with this? Are you staying with the shepherd instead of constantly chasing after a new patch of grass? Are you feeding on the Word of God? Are you spending time under His teaching? Listen, the flock feeds together and grows deeper in unity together. Because there's this shared bond of being part of the flock, serving together, protecting one another. Are you a member of this flock? Do you belong to this body? If you want to know more about that, I invite you to come and we will talk about that. Now, the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep, but here is the power of fellowship with him. Here's the power of fellowship. He takes his life back up. A power that no other shepherd possesses, a power that guarantees the flock's safety, the flock's rest, knowing they are under the care of a shepherd. Let me ask you something. Do you need that rest today? Do you need that reassurance today? Do you need that calmness today? The shepherd knows his sheep. Not only knows them and walks with them, but has the power to defeat death itself on their behalf. Now, you still have that image in your minds? You still have it there? What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? He calls, but you must respond. Let's stand. Let's pray about it. Father God, thank you for your word. And Lord, I know this was long, but Lord, I think it was very well needed. And Lord, thank you. And I pray that you work through the power of your Holy Spirit, and that you will move and draw people closer to you, and that we will be one with you, and that we will also be one with one another, that we will have unity, not just with you, but with each other. Lord, we ask that you strengthen our bonds of fellowship with you and with each other. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
But we never can.
song. Actually, that song is all about fellowship, really. If you read it, look at it. So listen, go fellowship with a brother or sister in Christ. Does that mean just here? No. There's brothers and sisters all around us. Listen, go fellowship in the Lord with them. Strengthen yourselves. You strengthen them. They may need you, all right? But listen, here's what we know. That inside of you is the love of Christ, and that love is more powerful than anything in this world. Amen. And you have it to give. Amen? Go give them some love. God bless you, and thank you for being here. You're dismissed.
Trust and obey, for this world.